Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome all of you to our worship service here at Reveille on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Whether you are a member or a visitor, we welcome you this day, and we welcome those who are joining with us online. My name is Stephen Coleman. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Reveille. Our lead pastor, the Reverend Dr. Pete Moon, is preaching this morning. We are continuing our sermon series on the way of the cross, and we are reading a scripture passage from the Gospel of John this morning about seeds and multiplying seeds and planting seeds. So we are so glad that you are all here with us. A few quick announcements to make. This coming Saturday will be our Easter celebration, beginning at 10 o'clock in our quad area. Hopefully the sun will be shining on Saturday. But we'll be having a lot of games and fun and Easter egg hunts, so we hope you'll come and join us. And we do need some help with volunteers. So if you are able to provide some hospitality and some help, then I invite you to talk to Karen Rios about helping on that Saturday. Also, just to give you a heads up about our Holy Week, that is also not too far away. We'll be having our Holy Thursday worship and meal, which will take place at 6 o'clock in our fellowship hall. We do invite you to make a reservation since we are preparing food for that night. And we will have a Good Friday tenebrae service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And then, of course, on Easter Sunday, we will have a 6:45 sunrise service in the Garth, an 8:15 and 11 o'clock service here in the sanctuary, and then our 9:30 worship in the fellowship hall. So we hope you'll come and join us on Easter Sunday and invite a friend or family to join you. Also on Easter, we will have a cross where we will be decorating the cross with flowers out in front of the sanctuary. So we invite you to take part in that celebration of Easter as well. All of the other announcements are on the inside of your bulletin. I invite you to take a minute to read through them. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of the living God. The Lord be with you.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of his love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest
I invite you to stand now in body or in spirit and join me for our call to worship. Each day is a gift from God. Each day is a reminder of the new covenant. Each day we draw closer to God. Who has forgiven us more than we ever acknowledge.
With joy and hope, let us sing together our opening hymn, number 57, selected stanzas of O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Having gathered into the presence of the Holy God, let us now confess our sins with our prayer of common confession and then our silent personal confession. Let us pray. O holy and merciful God, today we remember that Jesus went to the cross to enable others to join us here. We confess to you that we do not share his concern. We are content with who we are and who is with us. Jesus died to multiply us, and we are happy to maintain. Jesus looked at the outsiders and saw people seeking him. We assume no one is interested. Give us a heart like Jesus, that we too may see those around us with his eyes of love and welcome. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Hear now the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. I invite you now to share signs of reconciliation and peace with those around you. for our children's message this morning.
We invite our children to come on up. We're going to have our time together up front. And as the children are coming up, we'd like to encourage those of you who are with us online to step on up and get in front of the screen and join us. You are a part of our worship today, and we're glad that all of you are with each of us. Well, what is going on up here? Can you all see out there? Everybody's wearing green. What's going on out there? What? It's St. Patrick's Day. That's exactly right. You want to see something funny? Look at this. I got some green socks on. Come on, isn't that cool? Well, I was thinking about this today, and today is St. Patrick's Day. We got some more coming up here. So I have some green things. You know what these are? What? They are. They are seeds for sweet peas. And you all know how seeds work, right? Come on up. We got plenty of room up here. So you know how seeds work, right? Well, this packet seems to say that if we plant one of these seeds, that it will produce like hundreds of peas. Can you see that? Isn't that something? One seed produces hundreds of peas. So I'm going to ask Pastor Bio and Stephen to maybe help me with this. Would you pass a seed out to everybody? And maybe Pastor Byron and Karen can help me too. I want you each to take a seed, and you can give them each one seed. And we're going to think about this because I brought something with me. So can you each take a seed? If you each can take a seed, and we're going to do something really fun today. We're going to plant the seeds, all right? Now, I want you to think about that because in our Bible reading today, Jesus said that he was like this seed. Can you look at that seed in your hand? He said it was like that seed because he was telling us that there's going to come a day where he would be buried. And when he was crucified and died on the cross, he went into the tomb, right? You remember that story? And he said that was kind of like a seed going into the dirt. And see, if you didn't know better, you know what you'd think? You'd think that that was the end of the seed, but we know better, don't we? What happens when you put a seed in the ground? What? It grows. And not only does it grow, I'm gonna give you a fancy word, it multiplies. So one seed produces like 100 seeds, right? So Jesus was teaching us this, that when you and I do what Jesus did, and we think more about other people than we think about ourselves, when we love other people more than we think about ourselves, that's like being that seed. And it feels like things aren't going well because you're being buried in the ground. But what Jesus teaches us is when you love other people and serve other people, that has a way of growing and becoming a whole bunch of seeds. So I'm going to walk around. I'm going to ask you to put each of your seeds in the dirt. Can you do that? And we're going to plant these. And while you're putting them in the dirt, you know what we're going to do? We're going to see how things go over the next. What do you think will happen if I water these seeds over the next 2 weeks? What? I think they're going to grow. And what's 2 weeks from today, right? Easter. So you put all your seeds in the dirt, and I'm going to plant, and I'm going to water these seeds. Do we get everybody? Do I miss anybody? And maybe in 2 weeks, what do you think might happen? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed you. I think we're going to have a whole lot of peas. All right, well, let's put our hands together and let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love us. Help us to love like you so that we can be seeds that multiply just like you. Amen. Man, it's great to see you all, and we can't wait to see you soon. Have a great day. You all can head on back. No seed will.
Good morning. Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that, as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. This may be found on page 642 of your pew Bible. In a time of crisis, Jesus promises a new covenant to his people. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, even though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading for the morning comes from the 12th chapter of the book of John. We invite you to follow along on your pew Bibles, but please know I will be reading a slightly different version. I'll be reading the New International Version, so it'll be a little bit different from what you see in the pews. But we will be beginning in the 20th verse. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now the time for judgment has come upon this world, and the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He showed this to show the kind of death. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, it is our prayer that as your word is proclaimed and offered this day, that you would enter into this place in your mighty rushing winds. Speak to us. Show us your ways. Show us your will. Enable us to be like you. For this prayer we offer to you through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, friends, every single time I come across this reading, the 12th chapter of John, my mind goes back to a scene some 30-odd years ago when I was a seminary student here at Union Seminary. We used to have this time where about 30 or 40 students would go in a bus, in a caravan, and we'd go descend upon a town, an area in North Carolina, and we'd all go to these churches, these Presbyterian churches out there, and would lead the worship in all of these congregations. And we went down there, and I was assigned the role of preaching that day. And it was probably the first time I ever preached in front of a congregation. And I do not know what I said that day, and frankly, I hope the congregation doesn't either, right? But here's what I remember. I remember going up there, and I walked up to the pulpit. It was about this size, and I went to put my notes down on there, and there was this big, like, 2-foot by 2-foot plaque. There was a bronze plaque that was on the pulpit in big, blazing letters. You find the words that were in our text today. Simply said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I have never forgotten that as a reminder of why we come to church, why we're here, why we're gathered. "Sir, we would see Jesus." And it's a reminder of what Paul said when he said in Colossians, "It is he is the one we proclaim." And it's a great line. But it's only the beginning of a powerful text here, because through this opening request of the Greeks, Jesus, through John, uses this imagery that we shared with the children, the imagery of planting seeds, planting a field, to offer this brief but poignant picture of the gospel. And it's a picture that's supposed to draw us in to understand this season and what Jesus is doing. And it begins with all the chapters that go before our reading today. Because the thing is, if you're going to clear a field, if you're going to plant a field, I should say, the first thing you have to do is to clear it. You have to prepare the ground, soften it for the incoming seed. And you see, for 11 chapters, Jesus has been plowing the field. He began this venture by turning the water to wine, telling his mother that his time had not yet come. That's important for the story. And so in the ensuing chapters, he has been preaching and teaching and healing. He's been in conflict. He's been fussing with the Pharisees. And the crowds are all building around him to this point where the verse just before our reading, the Pharisees are complaining when they say, "The whole world is going after him." And then we jump into our reading. And these Greeks, which really represents all the outsiders, they all show up. And they're people who live on the fringe of the faith, but they're intrigued. They want to know more. And so they ask one of the disciples, notably the one with a Greek name, Philip, they ask if they might see Jesus. And it doesn't seem unusual at first, but what is unusual and surprising is the level of intensity and foreboding in Jesus' response to them. He says, I quote, "The hour has come." Now, when you're planting a field or planting a garden, you have to plant at just the right time. Farmers, gardeners, they look at things like air temperature and soil temperature. But either way, something triggers the planting. And that's what happened. The Greeks show up, and it triggers Jesus. Again, chapters earlier, he said, "My time has not come." Now the time, he says, has come. I don't know if any of you remember an author a number of years ago. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a whole bunch of fascinating books. And a number of years ago, he wrote this book called The Tipping Point. But he described those things, how things go viral. And this was before the advent of most of social media. And he had a number of scenarios that described things that just kind of exploded and took off suddenly. And one of his premier examples was the old example of the shoes Hush Puppies. Do you remember those shoes, right? They were just the thing in the 80s and the 90s. Everybody was buying these things. And then everything just kind of fell and plummeted so that the company was about to go out of business. But then a whole bunch of events that he describes in the book occurred. And suddenly these Hush Puppies, they hit a tipping point, and they couldn't keep them on the shelves anymore. Well, in a deeper and eternal sense, you see, Jesus and his work in the 12th chapter of John, it hits a tipping point. The whole world's knocking at his door. The world is asking to be let in on the gospel and this thing of faith. Outsiders are seeking Jesus, and something happens inside of the holy character and soul of Jesus. And he says, the hour has come. And there's a lesson here that I wish we had more time for, but I invite you to hold on to this one. Jesus wants to reach the entire world. Jesus wants to reach the Greeks. Jesus is passionate about extending himself to those people who are not here this morning. And something happens in Jesus when people are interested in him. Something happens in Jesus when people are seeking him. And it lights such a holy fire in him that he is willing at that point to go to the cross. I think we should listen carefully to that. But also remember that as Jesus describes all of this, he's also talking about you and me. Don't ever forget, we're not just talking about the people outside. When you are interested, when you are seeking Jesus, when you want to know more, do you see that same trigger is elicited in his character and the passion is elicited? Jesus loves those who seek him. You can't miss that in this text. And note what he does to reach them and to reach us. He's prepared the field for 11 chapters, and now he goes to the very center of this farming metaphor, and now he starts talking about planting seeds and dying. He says, famously, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Do you know, at almost every graveside service, we read that text. And hopefully the imagery is obvious. Jesus is pointing to his coming crucifixion. He's saying, I'm going to be planted in a tomb, buried into the tomb. And he's talking about himself, but please know he's also talking about you and me. In fact, the bulk of the text is about you and me. And here's a reminder of the fundamental of the Christian faith, because just like Jesus, you and I are those seeds that we are supposed to die to self so that we can serve in love. Do you hear that? We are the seeds that die to self so that we can serve in love. And we've spoken about this a number of times throughout Lent, but we live in this culture that encourages, facilitates, engenders, pick your word, but tries to talk us into doing the exact same opposite of this. That the way forward is to focus on me, to go internal and to spiral inside. Jesus says, no. It's about dying to self and living for love and others. And in doing this, he invites us to keep our focus on him and upon other people. But see, the trouble is, sometimes when we do that, it involves you and me being planted in places we just don't want to go. I'm hoping that some of you are at least familiar with a very old movie. You remember the movie African Queen, that movie that came out a whole bunch of years ago? It's a great movie, but it's a story of a man, Charlie Allnutt, who is played by Humphrey Bogart, and he's a hard drinker who runs this small steamboat through the shallow rivers of East Africa in the early 1900s. And he teams up with Rosie, who is, of course, played by Katharine Hepburn. She's a missionary when World War I breaks out in their midst. And the movie is all about how they make their way downriver so that they can blow up a German destroyer. Well, there's this famous scene in the movie when they're at their worst. The river has become small and shallow, and Charlie has no choice but to enter into the river and pull the boat through the muddy, marshy, dark waters. And if you remember that scene, there's a point where he comes up out of the water. He gets onto the boat, and he's covered with leeches. And Rosie puts the salt on and removes them all quickly. They're both shaking in fear, but they're stuck in the mud. And they both realize that the only way forward is to once again get out of the boat, get into the water, and drag the boat to the lake. You see, in our text today, that's exactly what Jesus did. He got out of the boat and descended into the dark, ugly waters of a tomb. And he makes the point that you and I, when we follow him, You and I, when we love people, when we love the Greeks the same way Jesus loved the Greeks, it means that you and I, too, have to get out of the boat and get into that dark, marshy, muddy river. As Jesus put it, being planted in something as dark as a tomb. Now, you and I both know it'd be a whole lot nicer if we could just stay in the boat. But sometimes, friends, we just have to get into the river. Sometimes you have to be planted into that marsh. Because love does have a beautiful side. Whether it be in romance, or whether it be with our friends, or whether it be in our church fellowship. But here, when we turn to this text, we are also reminded that Christian love also means that you and I get out of the boat and get into that dark river. And that you can play that out in a bunch of different scenarios. Maybe that means that you hold down a hard job that it's going to provide for your family. Maybe it means that you give up discretionary time so that you can serve somebody else. Maybe it means serving in a neighborhood that's outside of your comfort zone. It may mean going into those darker places within yourself, or certainly joining a journey with somebody else. When I think of that whole image, the person of Dietrich Bonhoeffer once again comes to my mind. There's this classic story where things were just going very badly in Germany just prior to World War II. And Bonhoeffer, who was teaching theology and all sorts of things in the seminaries, was invited to come to America, which he did. Taught for many years, was celebrating worship in the African-American congregations in Harlem, was having an incredible experience in all of that. But despite the encouragement of many of his American friends to stay in America, in the boat, if you will, he felt like he had to go back to Germany in the midst of it all, because all his people were there. And he did, but if you know his story, because he did, he was ultimately hung for his faith and his allegiance to Christ instead of to Hitler. But in it all, he wrote some of those powerful works. He wrote extensively about the dangers of what he calls cheap grace. He reminded us of this text. To use his older language, he would say, when Christ calls a man, he calls him to come and die. But he could have stayed in the boat. He instead went into that leech-infested marsh of World War II Germany so that he could love, and in so doing was following Jesus. But again, that's not the end of the metaphor. We don't go into the river just to be martyrs. Jesus goes on to highlight the way that this seed, even though it's seemingly dead, ultimately bears and multiplies fruit. Jesus said that in the last line of the text, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. See, when you and I deny ourselves, die to self so that we can love like Jesus, Jesus has this way of multiplying our sacrificial acts of love to be those seeds and fruit that multiplies and creates other fruit. And when I think about this and I think about Jesus and his emphasis upon all of this, I am reminded that Jesus has some very distinct preferences when it comes to math. Yeah, when it comes to math, right? Think about it. Jesus doesn't really like subtraction. He says, it's the will of the Father that no one be lost. Jesus certainly isn't a fan of division in some sense, because Jesus is all about unity again and again and again. He's okay with addition. That's a good thing. But when you listen to his parables and this text today, Jesus loves multiplication. Multiplication. He loves fruit that multiplies seeds that multiply again. I think when I hear that, I think of a story. Years ago, I served on the Richmond District, and I had the opportunity to take younger pastors to conferences. And we went to this church planting conference with a thousand or so pastors from all around the country, mostly younger, who had this passion to multiply churches. That was the name of the conference, was Multiply. And I was intrigued by this line that they would often talk about. They said they would encourage these pastors to go plant a church, plant a new church. But when they go, they said, we want you to plant a church that is born pregnant. I find that fascinating. that is the way people think. That's the way, it's kind of like the way Jesus thought. See, Jesus was planted in a tomb in love, but was raised so that he would reach the entire world. The many Greeks who are yet out there today, who yet say, "Sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus." And I think there's a reminder here for all of us. If you and I are going to love like Jesus loves, it means there are times we got to get out of the boat. Even though the water looks dark and marshy and muddy and dirty. But we don't go into the place as martyrs. We go in there as seeds with the confidence that what happened to Jesus can also happen through us. Jesus does this thing. He multiplies our acts of sacrificial love. He multiplies those times when the focus is on him and others and not on ourselves. He multiplies those things when we die to self and give ourselves to him and to this world in love. And let me just encourage you and invite you this week to put the pedal down on your thoughts around this. Because Easter Sunday is just 2 weeks away. And let me ask you, do you know any Greeks? Do you know any Greeks? Are there any folks that you know who may be silently saying to you, "Sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus"? What would happen if you invited them to come join you for church on Easter? Maybe for you high achievers out there, you can bring them next week for a Palm Passion Sunday. But see, either way, you get the point. We may not think it, but there's still a whole bunch of Greeks out there. And Jesus is the seed that was planted and is raised to multiply. And he asks you and I to be that seed also. And we all need the encouragement from this text and from our risen Lord to get out of the boat and extend that love and that invitation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As people who see Jesus, let us stand and sing together our hymn of response, number 451, "Be Thou My Vision."
Let us remain standing as together we say what we believe. Using the Apostles' Creed, you'll find that on page 881. Let's offer these words together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us please be seated.
Friends, before we enter our time of prayer this morning, I do have two congregational concerns I'd love to lift up to you. The first is to pray for the family of Ann Woods, who is a member of our church who died earlier this week. Let us continue to pray for her life, pray for her family, and pray for all the people who knew and loved her. Let us also pray for the family of Amy Swink. She is the godmother of one of our members, Taylor Brewer. She also died earlier this week, and let us lift them up in prayer and love and remind them of God's grace as well. So friends, on that note, let us close our eyes, let us clear our minds, and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this day that we at the body of Christ can gather together in fellowship and learn more about your truths and what they mean to us. Lord, we thank you. You know, as the Reverend Dr. Pete Moon preached today, sir, we would like to see Jesus. We thank you for all the ways and all the opportunities that you've allowed for us to see you, to hear you, to feel you, to listen to you, to understand you, and to actively seek you and embody all the ways that you've taught us to lead and live our lives. Lord, we would be remiss if we didn't lift up all of our folks, all the people all around the world who may not be feeling the same way, for those who are seeking you but can't find you, for those who are wanting to hear your voice but don't know how to listen to you, for those who want to feel your presence but don't know where to start. Lord, we pray for those of us here on this day and on for our world beyond, for those of us who have faith but are doubting, for those of us who have faith but are questioning, those of us who have faith but don't know where to go and don't know where to turn to. We pray for those of us who don't have faith but don't know where to find you and have no interest in finding you. We pray for those of us who don't have faith and don't know that we need you. Lord, we thank you for planting seeds and allowing all of us as the culmination of the many seeds that you have planted throughout our lives to be here on this day. We thank you for embodying what it means to be a seed and to also plant seeds, because we know that your mission is to multiply, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, not just some of our locality, but beyond our locality, in our churches, in our streets, in our city, in our world, in our country. Lord, we lift up those prayers to you. We lift up the prayers to you to continue helping us on this mission of trying to find you, because as we wish to find you and as we wish to seek you, we know that you are with us, that you are walking with us, that you are in our midst and you are in our presence. Lord, as we take this time now to lift up our prayers silently in planting seeds and understanding the presence and power of planting seeds, we want to lift up our prayers to you silently now for those of us who are doubting, questioning, and are seeking to find you. Hear our prayers, O God. Hear our prayers, and holding on to the imagery of a seed that has to be planted in the dirt that could be filled of hard things, of challenging things, but also knowing that one day we will spring forth from that dirt and grow into a plentiful harvest that will continue to show your awe, continue to show your beauty of the world that you created and the creations that you made in each and every one of us. We lift up these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us these words, the one who planted seeds in disciples, and then those disciples went out and multiplied and made us into disciples here today. And they said these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd love to invite our ushers up as we continue in our worship and give our gifts to God so that we may plant seeds in our community and in our world. Let us pray. Lord God, as we are all, as a universal Christian church, as we are all united together in giving these gifts back to you, let us, with these offerings and these gifts, plant into your community, plant into your world, so that we can continue to bring and build your kingdom here as it is on heaven, as it is on earth. We lift up these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen.
Addiction hymn on the insert in your bulletin. You've probably noticed some Irish music throughout the service. This is one of the most familiar of Irish tunes set to the priestly benediction. So please join us in singing.
The joys and the challenges that are waiting out for you this week, I invite you to hold fast to that which we have learned this day. There is power in self-denying love. That Jesus shows us the way that when we deny ourselves and serve others, give ourselves to the others, die in for ourselves, that God has a way of multiplying that to feed those Greeks who are yet saying, Sir, ma'am, we would see Jesus. Hold on to that thought. As we go now, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as all God's people say, Amen.